Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
Good, good.
Good.
So, look, we want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. This will be like officially our second one, right?
Right.
Yeah, we did the one with Little Wolf, which was amazing.
That was awesome.
Yesterday, right?
We did it yesterday.
Yesterday, sitting in the house, and now they're rolling on to Arkansas, somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you seen some of their adventures today on Facebook?
I have. I've been following them.
Yeah, me too.
I'm silently stalking them.
Yeah, I am too, and I do that quite often with Little Wolf. But some of the things that they're seeing and experiencing are just, man, they're awesome.
I know, right?
They're awesome, you know, and one of the things, I was going to call Billboard later and talk to him later on the night and see that he had a time to share Jesus with someone, and I wanted to kind of talk to him a little bit about how it went and just kind of get a perspective on, you know, ministry on the road.
How do you think it went? Like, you know, when I was talking with Billboard, and I talked with him a little bit at the clubhouse, and it was some of his story.
Yeah. He's got a killer story.
Like where he came from.
Yeah.
Like I put a link to his book in the show notes.
Yeah.
To the last episode. And I really think people should go like buy it.
I think they should buy it. I'm looking forward to reading it. I understand that I have a copy.
You do.
Waiting for me.
It's downstairs. I'll make
good.
Sure.
Good.
He signed it to you and ma'am.
Oh, that's awesome. That's funny. I told her about that on the way home from after we recorded the podcast the other day. I said, you know, Little Wolf has said that ma'am needs to be your road name. She went,
I don't know about that.
I said, well, there's not very many people that give, you know, get a road name from a 1%er. So
that's right. That's right.
Right? It's kind of an honor.
Yeah. Like our guy in Chattanooga, Ralph, have you met him?
Oh, yeah.
His road name is now Jumpstart.
Really?
Because they were at the CH in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And his bike wouldn't start.
Oh, my.
So Little Paul had to actually jumpstart his bike.
And Little Paul will not let him live that down, I guarantee.
No, so his road name is Jumpstart.
It's Jumpstart, yep.
Yeah, he's like, that's your name. I don't care what anybody else calls you.
That's what it's going to be.
So we got him a patch that says
Jumpstart.
Jumpstart.
That's awesome. I was talking with our national SAA yesterday, and I told him about it. And I said, you know, this is what Little Wolf said Rebecca's road name needs to be. And he goes, well, I sleep with a patchmaker for our club, so I believe we can make that happen.
Like the next run, she will have a patch.
Yeah, she'll have the patch. She'll have it. So
it's amazing to be able to get to do stuff like this.
It really is.
You know, Linda listened to the podcast, I think this morning, maybe.
How much trouble are you still in?
I am actually in no trouble.
Really? That's good.
She said when you guys walked in, she was acting too much like Martha and needs to be a Mary.
A Mary, yeah. Wow. That's.
I said, oh, yeah, you're right. You do.
But, well, I didn't say anything, Linda. That was Rick that said that.
I think that's what she said it.
Well, yeah.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's times when you got to choose your approval ratings.
All right, you do.
Yeah, you do.
I probably should cut that out.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not going to because I refuse to edit episodes. I don't know if you know that.
I do.
Yeah.
Because every one we've ever done has been one shot take.
Yeah, I refuse to edit them because I feel like it just takes away from like actually having the conversation.
Right. You know? I agree.
Now, I might work on the audio a little bit, right? Run it through a couple things.
Yeah, kind of tune it a little bit. Yeah.
You know, cut it at the front, cut it at the back. But I refuse to be like, oh, let's cut that out and do it again.
Well, it takes away the personal experience when you have to edit.
I agree.
You know, and it just does, the flow kind of gets polluted a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. You know, it's interesting because, you know, when we're talking with Little Wolf and you know, Little Dragon and Airbender and Billboard, all of them, you know.
Yeah.
I sometimes don't even know for the right words because, like, you know, you and I both do a ton of ministry stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But then I see that they just go.
Does it make you a little envious?
I don't want to say envy.
Wishful.
But why can't I be more like that?
Yeah.
You know, why can't I'm not questioning my faith, but sometimes I'm like, do I have that much faith?
Yeah, I get to the point sometimes to where I wonder if God put that mission in front of me, would I be Jonah, or would I jump right in there and take off?
Right.
You know, a couple of years ago, I end up with a catchphrase for the year every year, and I try to make it like a New Year's resolution. And a couple of years ago, Rebecca and I had this catchphrase. We said, "No, Jonah. Whatever God puts in front of us is what we're going to do. There's not going to be anything that we're going to try to waver from. There's not, you know, we're not going to try to get out of anything. Yeah. We're just going to do it God's way." And it was beautiful. But there were a lot of times when she would go, or I would go, right, and, right. And we'd have to remind each other, "No, Jonah."
You know, it's hard for me. You know, for many years, Linda and I would pick a word, mm-hmm. right? We'd pick a word and we're going to study that word. Mm-hmm. You know, and one year I did patience. Don't pray for patience.
Right? that never works out.
You know, be careful what you ask for.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
But I haven't done that for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I think I should. I think I should get back on the, you know, pick a word. And then we would go through like the concordance and say, okay, everywhere that this word is in the Bible, mm-hmm. and maybe it's hope or joy or patience or
right.
whatever it is, and we would study those
that word
that for scripture, and why was it relevant in that epistle or in that book?
Yeah,
right. And you know, I think patience was the hard one for me.
Patience would be a hard one for me, because I have none of it.
I don't either, right?
And because I'm a fix-it guy.
Well, we're both IT guys.
Yeah. And it's
a one or a zero.
Right. So you go, you know, you go, all right, this is the problem. This is what I got to do to fix it.
Right, right.
You know, and even, you know, in day-to-day life, you know, I get faced with a situation of whether it be financial or whether it be an emotional thing or a physical thing or whatever. Well, that's what I got to do to fix it. Just go do it.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, so it's a, I don't know, being a fix-it guy is not always the.
Yeah.
Because there's times when I think God wants us to wait. To hear from him.
Man, you know how hard that is?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think about, you know, in scripture it says to cast your burdens to God, right? But because I'm a fix-it man and because I have no patience.
Right.
I'm like, well, I gave them to you and you didn't do anything with them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to take them back.
Right.
Because I can do something with
because it. Because I got a plan.
Yeah, right. I can fix it.
Yeah.
And it never works out.
Well, no. My best thinking always got me in my worst situations.
Right. It's horrible.
It really is. I mean, there's nothing else you can say about it.
Yeah. So what should this become? Like, let's talk about that, right?
Okay.
Because – you know, we've done several episodes together and, you know, I've done a whole bunch of like sermon-like things and mm-hmm. sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Right? Where do you see this going?
I don't know.
I don't either, and that's why I'm asking.
I don't know that I have a goal in mind.
I know I don't.
But I see this being something that God can use for a great ministry tool.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
And not because we're so eloquent or because we have, you know, great minds.
I'm surprised those cameras are still rolling.
We're IT guys. They have to roll. Yeah, that's the thing.
If a camera, I could switch them. You know, I can do all kinds of cool stuff with them.
Well, right? See, that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah.
But we... You know, being that's our element too, though. Yeah. Gadgets.
Well, yeah, gadgets are, but audio video is definitely not my deal.
Well, I'm a musician, so.
Yeah, I know it's yours, but it's not mine.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think God could use it several ways. We just got to figure out what that is.
And we can't get in the way of it.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Right?
Because we're fix it guys.
I've been trying to fix it for a whole long time, and I keep hearing, call Batman.
Well, here I am.
And so I finally said, okay, I will.
So to me, it's just a conversation about a topic.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
You know, let's just go fishing for some topics and see, you know, see where scripture leads us, see where conversation leads us, and see where, you know, where God's going to put us in it all.
Yeah. So if you're listening, I would say, you know, we have an email address, hello@nomadpastor.org. Send us some topics.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to ask BFC for some topics, and I'm going to ask you to ask Brotherhood, Forge Brotherhood, for some topics.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? We can do that.
Because I want to do a bunch of different things. I don't like, I want it to be the two of us, but I also don't want it to be limited to the two of us.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I have travel stuff, right?
Right.
With tons of mics. So if you're doing a run somewhere, take it with you.
Okay.
Right. You may have your pee somewhere and you want to do a podcast with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We can do that.
And I'll do the same thing. Right.
I mean, right. Like, right.
We just figure out what it looks like. I don't know.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about faith, since we were just talking about, you know, sometimes I don't feel like I have the right faith.
Yeah, let's talk about that today.
To do what Little Wolf and them guys do.
Yeah. So I think faith has always been something that I want more of.
Yeah.
You know, I said the other day, I've been a Christian for a long time, backslid for a while, but, you know, since May the 10th of 1980, you know, I've been saved by the blood.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing that I've always wanted is for my faith to grow. And in my faith growing, as it grows, obviously there's going to be more service, more, you know, more, I don't want to call it works.
But that's what, I mean, it does say, right? Faith will increase works.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of your faith, you should do good works.
Exactly.
So I know what you're saying. You don't want to say that, right? It's hard, like, you know, because I did all these great things.
Yeah. Because the accolades and the pats on the back are awesome. But it's all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
I lead worship not for what kind of production I can put on stage, not for what kind of, you know, awesome solo I can sing or somebody can play or whatever. I lead right. worship for an audience of one, you know. And there's a funny story. When I first started going through recovery, I was actually leading worship at a Celebrate Recovery in Hendersonville.
Really?
Yeah. And
not Long Hollow.
Not Long Hollow. It was that community church in Hendersonville.
Okay.
And one night it was me and Rebecca and a lady that was playing a cajon. And
I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know what that is.
That's that little drum that they sit on and they play.
Oh, okay, it's, okay.
It sounds like a snare drum and a kick drum at the same time. So anyway, she was playing.
It's a box, though.
Yeah, it's a box. Yeah. So anyway, it was like four songs. And man, I was struggling hitting bar chords that night. And it sounded like a pig trying to fly an airplane. I mean, it really did.
Okay.
And we got back. When we finished, we got off the stage and walked back into like a little refreshment area because I was wanting to get something to drink. So we walked back there and I turned around and apologized to Rebecca and this lady. And I said, look, I'm sorry. This was terrible. Tonight was just horrendous. And she said, let me tell you a story. She said,
whenever they say, let me tell you a story.
Yeah, it's always going to be good. You know, she said, you know, when your kids were real little and they drew you a picture and it was a little squiggly thing and they handed it to you and you go, here you go, daddy. And you say, well, this looks like asphalt.
Yeah.
You know, and they go, it's a giraffe. And you're like, oh, that's so great. And you put it up on the refrigerator. Yeah,
beautiful giraffe.
Yeah. It's a great giraffe, baby. She said, that's the way God does our worship. And I was like, poof.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
You know, so now I have this mindset of no matter what the product is that everybody else sees, as long as I praise the Lord, as long as I worship him in that praise, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if I sing on key or not.
And that's awesome. How do you, it made me think of something, right?
Because
I know we're talking about faith, but it made me think about, you know, today, in today's society, you know, the average person will watch a church service online 3 to 5 times before they actually physically visit a church.
Mm-hmm.
And if the worship is bad online, if it doesn't sound good, they'll just go to the next one.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, that's that's...
Because I haven't figured out how to deal with it.
I don't know exactly, because there's so many different things that come into play in the way that a service is presented online. I mean, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the way that the mics are set up for the room, the feed into the board, who's actually running the soundboard, you know, the whether or not the cameras are pixelating or whether there's jitter or, you know, there's a lot of things that contribute to that.
Yeah.
Now, we'll say this. We're always called to do everything with excellence as unto the Lord.
True.
Right? And so when I get ready for worship, to lead worship or to be on a worship team, I want to make sure that what I'm doing is my best, no matter what. So now I can't control what everybody else is doing on the stage.
Well, absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, you said the soundboard, right?
Right.
And there's a mix for the room.
Mm-hmm. There's a mix for
online.
And there
has to be a mix for online.
Right.
Right. Because, you know, acoustics are different.
They are.
And you know, hearing the sound is different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know a lot about audio, but I know enough to know that the way it sounds when you're live in a room is going to be different than if I'm listening to it online.
Exactly.
And so I feel like sometimes churches just completely discredit that, or they don't care about that.
Yeah, but at the same, and we've had conversations about that at our church, of whether or not to continue the online.
Yeah.
You know, the Facebook Live or YouTube or whatever, you know, whatever platform that we go to, because it gives too many people that option not to be involved with the body.
I could see that.
I see both sides of the coin, though.
You know, but I guess I look at it like, right, you know, my wife can't go every day.
Right.
Sunday, right? And I know a lot of people who can't physically go to a building.
Sure.
And I think that instead of churches saying maybe we shouldn't because it gives them an out, maybe we should be having a digital pastor who's responsible for calling those people who can't come to the church, who's responsible for setting up Facebook groups for the people who can't come to the church so that you can do online, live, real-time small groups, you know? Have an online pastor who they're not calling the senior pastor or the worship pastor when they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let me call my pastor, my online pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And that pastor is available during service. Here's my number. Text me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think we should embrace more the ability to use the technology that's there.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
but at the same time, you get limited, and let me see how I can phrase this delicately, okay? You end up sometimes limiting yourself because of either finances,
yeah,
or the ability to be able to have the personnel to make sure that either online or in-house, either one,
yeah.
Is and you get in a kind of a catch-22 situation, you know, because you got people that want to serve,
right,
but maybe don't have quite the ability of somebody who may be a little bit more involved in the ministry of attendance right now, but has audio engineer capabilities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get, and I don't, it may be a dilemma that a lot of churches don't see, but in smaller churches, I think, especially, you know, like our church is 115, 125 people.
Yeah. I mean, ours too.
Right? You know,
but I recognize it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? I look at churches and there are churches that are much larger that are doing an amazing job at it.
Right.
Right. They have digital pastors.
Mm-hmm.
The digital pastors will go to their house and baptize people.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Like I know of some digital pastors that live in Southern California that have went to Washington and baptized people who are actually members of their church, pay their tithing. They go to small group online.
Really?
Right. They've just embraced this ability
mm-hmm.
to have people be full church members from anywhere in the country.
Hmm. That's a thought.
Yeah.
I've never thought. Yeah.
And the church pays for it. The church pays for them to go do the baptism, right? Like, so.
Right.
So the member isn't out anything.
Sure.
You know, and if they can't physically get there, then they will ask the member, like, hey, who do you know in your local area that's a Christian? And then that pastor will call, you know, if they say, oh, I know so-and-so, that pastor will call them. They'll walk them through and train them on what does it look like to perform a baptism? What does this do, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're raising up other people.
So it's kind of like a church plant.
But it's online.
Huh. I've never thought about that.
There's a book called Social Media to Social Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I may have a hard copy of the book. I have it on Audible too. I've listened to it 3 or 4 times, but I highly recommend it to people because it makes you think of things differently.
Yeah.
And it is like your online church community should be like, you should treat it like a church plant. You should treat it like hey, we've got to this certain point and we're going to plant a new church, but we're going to plant it online.
Mm-hmm.
You should have staff. You should have everything the same.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I mean, I like the concept of it. I guess the old school in me.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, to turn that, you know, kind of turn that corner and embrace it. It would just, I guess I would have to look into it. I'm not saying no.
No, I get that. And,
you know.
Look, I'm wrong about a lot of stuff.
Man, you ain't said nothing slick to an old man.
You know, but at the end of the day, all I really care about is that we're glorifying God.
Amen.
And doing that however we can.
Right.
Right? And I believe that the technology that we have is a gift from God.
It is.
Right?
It really is.
There is nothing that we're able to do that isn't because of Him.
Right.
Sitting here today, we got cameras all over the place. We got mics, right? Mm-hmm. I got a video switcher.
Switcher and everything.
Like all the stuff that we have to do this is a gift from God.
Right. So to segue back into the faith conversation that we started with.
That's right.
So do you have the faith to use the things that God has blessed you with?
Well, yeah, that's what I would ask, right?
You're right.
You know? God's blessed all these churches. Now, look, the pandemic was a horrible thing.
It was crazy horrible.
Horrible thing.
Yeah.
But God could use it, right? God did use it. All these churches immediately had to figure out how to do something virtually.
Right.
How do they serve the flock? How did pastors serve the congregation, protect the sheep, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without physically being able to see them.
Well, there's a lot of different answers to the way that happened.
Yeah.
You know, and the ingenuity that it took to reach those people, to reach those, you know, to reach those congregations and those flocks and you know, to remain faithful.
Yeah.
In a time that is, you know, a national worldwide pandemic is something that it's extreme. It was scary.
Absolutely.
You know, and the bad thing about, you know, being in IT is being essential.
Yeah.
You know, especially in a healthcare environment like we both of us are.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to go to the hospital every day you know, to work and make sure that everything was running. You know, all the ones and zeros were passing through the.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, minimize it, right? I had COVID very early on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think I was in bed for maybe 14 to 16 days. My temperature peaked at 104.7.
Wow.
I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
Now, note to self, don't go on vacation during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to expect to probably come home sick.
Right.
That's how it worked.
Yeah.
I came home sick. My bad.
Well, yeah. Well, you see, and I didn't. And here's the difference. You got it early on.
Yeah, before there was a vaccine.
Right. And I got it late after having the two Pfizer shots and a booster.
Yeah.
You know, and I lost my sense of smell and a sinus infection.
Right.
You know, and so I was watching Netflix on my laptop in the guest bedroom.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and I had it, and then I got the J&J and the J&J booster,
mm-hmm.
right? And then Linda got it just maybe a month ago, and she had the J&J vaccine.
Yeah. See, I had the Pfizer. Rebecca has never had the vaccine.
Yeah.
And she got it and was down for like 4 days.
Yeah. And we just got to have the faith to work through that.
Exactly.
Right.
So in all of that, though, when churches were trying to figure out how to reach congregations and congregants,
yeah,
you know, and there are still people in the world, there are still people in this community right around us within a 10-mile radius of where we're sitting right now that don't have a computer.
No.
That don't have internet service.
That's right.
That still have a landline telephone.
Some of them. Yeah, there's probably some.
Right. So how do you, in a pandemic time like that, when everyone is obviously on edge, and the ingenuity that it takes to reach those people when the doors of the building are locked.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
So here's another way that faith plays into that.
Yeah.
You just have to have the faith to believe that God's going to show you a way to be able to make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Billboard was saying the other day, you know, he had $160 in his pocket when he rode up to Michigan.
Right. He had enough to get to Michigan.
Right. And here he is 3 weeks into the ride. Hadn't gone hungry yet. Hadn't needed a tank of gas yet.
Right.
So
your camera died.
Mine did.
This one right here.
Oh.
Maybe the battery died.
There it is. It's back.
All right.
It's back.
It went to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to fix that.
Do I need to move?
No. I ordered another power, like, to plug it in. It's supposed to be here tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have a power cord in it.
So it's going to go to sleep every something. I don't know, maybe if I bang it around or something.
Oh, well.
It don't matter.
It don't matter.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we got time.
It's new.
Yeah.
You know, so when you talk about the people, like, in this 10-mile radius that don't maybe have any connection, that's confusing to me. And let me tell you why. Because we go to the mission together.
Right.
And those people are homeless.
Right.
And have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them have a phone.
Have a smartphone.
Yeah, not just a phone.
Right.
They have a smartphone. Now, it's not going to be the latest, greatest iPhone or
no.
or the latest, greatest Galaxy, but they all have phones.
Right.
When we walk around the halls, they're on their phones.
They're on their phones.
Right? So it's confusing to me to hear, well, you know, there's people who don't have a phone. They have a landline.
Mm-hmm.
That would surprise me.
Well, yeah. but that's...
You know?
So here's the reason that I know that is because of having to set up the network for telehealth visits and things like that, you know? And people who, you know, call a doctor and say, I don't have the internet. Well, how can you get me? You know, how can you know, how can I get back in touch with you? Well, you have to dial 615-444-XXXX.
Yeah.
You know, BR549 for Junior Samples Auto Sales.
Right.
You know, but so there is, you know, there are people who need that bond somehow, but don't have either a data plan or, you know, some way to reach out online.
You just got to have faith, I guess, right?
You do, you know,
they're going to get there.
So that when you're in the middle of a pandemic and you have people in your church who are, you know, and I don't want people to think that I'm saying if you don't have the internet that you're desolate, or that, you know, it could be a number of different things. You know, it could be.
Well, there's a lot of people who don't feel there's a need for it.
Right.
Right. When Linda and I first started dating, I mean, I had a cell phone for years, right? I was an IT guy.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have one.
Yeah.
She was like, what do I need that for?
Right.
I got a phone.
Yeah.
I don't need to be attached. And I don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's a lot of people today that it isn't about that they're, you know, deprived.
Yeah.
They're like, I see no benefit to that.
Right.
I got my TV.
Mm-hmm.
I got my antenna, my bunny ears.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Although now your bunny ears don't work unless they're HD.
This is very true.
Yeah. Which is what I have at home. I don't have cable.
Yeah. We have YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And it's been okay, but there was a period of time. I was a DirecTV guy for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have the NFL Sunday ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then one day we just said, we're done with all this.
Yeah.
We turned it off and we had, you know, just the HD bunny ears, right?
Like, yeah.
It wasn't a bunny ear, but it was like an HD antenna in the attic
that I put
in, right? And we got like 50 channels.
Oh, yeah. And
most of them were Christian, so it was perfect.
It was perfect, yeah. Like, we have a Samsung TV now, so we have the Samsung Plus.
Yeah.
So it's like 300 extra channels on Samsung, you know, as long as you connect the TV to the Wi-Fi router.
Right, right.
You know, and I've got the HD antenna up there, and I get like 52 channels on it, so.
Yeah. When we moved into this house, I tried the antenna, and I couldn't get but like two channels where we're located. Just like, that's why we have YouTube TV now.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't get any of the locals. I couldn't get nothing.
Yeah. I could see that in this location.
Yeah.
Because your azimuth is off.
Everything's horrible.
Yeah. AT&T doesn't even work out of here. Ask me how I know.
Neither does T-Mobile or Sprint.
Really?
No. It's Verizon.
See, we left T-Mobile. We're with AT&T.
Yeah. Now, I'm lucky we've been with Verizon for a long time, but no, it's horrible.
Yeah. But getting back to the, you know, the digital world in a pandemic, and you saw more and more like online tithing.
Yes.
You saw more and more, you know, every church in this area that I knew of, from Hendersonville to Carthage to Lebanon, Watertown churches.
Yeah.
You know, had online services.
All of them did.
And some of them were shot with an iPhone.
I think a lot were, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they were never really, a lot of churches that were probably 100 or less, 150 people or less, mm-hmm. really had never cared about being online.
No.
Right.
They didn't need to be.
I mean, they had a web page probably, and it said, hey, here's when our service time is.
Yeah, here's our pastors, our staff.
Right. That's right. That's our staff. This is what we believe. This is
right. Mission statement of Facebook.
But other than that, a lot of them might not even have a Facebook page.
Yeah. Most of them probably didn't.
You know? And I know because during that time, you know, there was a rush on laptops and webcams. And, you know, I got webcams that I, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago bought that are HD that were like $30.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like $200.
Yeah.
For the same camera.
Same camera.
Like they haven't even changed, like the version's the same.
So if we would have been smart, we would have invested in Zoom when all this started, you know,
that would have been a good idea
because people like, I can't tell you how many different department managers and administrators at the hospital will call me and say, "Hey, what's the best cheapest camera I can get?"
Yeah.
No, you ain't gonna spend less than $120.
Not anymore.
No.
Yeah. So as we roll out of the pandemic, because I mean it's not over, but it's over.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I mean it kind of is over. There's a plan.
Yeah.
You get sick now. You know the CDC isolates you for 5 days.
Yeah, but you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to wear a mask in Walmart anymore.
No.
So.
No.
Right.
How do we take what we've learned and the faith people had to have during the pandemic and move forward? I've thought a lot about that.
I have thought a lot about this as well, because and we've talked earlier in other episodes about different events in our life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so with every event that's come along in my life, I've wanted to learn from.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's like that scar that you have on your leg where you fell off your bicycle when you were trying to jump a ramp at 10 years old, right? You remember
a ramp and five of your friends.
Yeah. And that were praying that,
right.
that you hit the ramp right.
That's right.
You know, but you knew exactly what caused that scar. You knew probably what you were wearing.
Yeah.
With something like that. So for us to move forward in this pandemic is to learn from having to be isolated, I think, to learn how important Christian community is, whether it's online or whether it's in person, because the encouragement and the accountability is lost in isolation.
Yeah, I agree with that. We got to figure out how to get the people who are so isolated that they're frozen.
Mm-hmm.
How do we help them? It's one of the things I've struggled with a lot, right? Because I see a lot of people who are frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're still
wearing a mask in the car.
I hate to admit this, but I saw somebody wearing a mask on their motorcycle. Recently.
Really?
Yeah. That was not a Harley.
Okay, that explains a lot.
but just, yeah, the people wearing the mask in their car when they're alone with the windows up.
Right.
Right? Afraid to turn on the air conditioner because they don't want COVID to blow in.
Right.
How do we get to them?
That's a good question. And I don't know exactly how that's something that we obviously have to pray about for some guidance on.
Right.
I mean, really have to pray about for guidance, because those are the people that were going to be difficult to reach pre-pandemic.
That's very true. That's very true.
You know, I don't want to call them tactics, but the way to engage them is going to be different.
Yeah, it is.
From the way that we engage a cashier at the grocery store.
I think it is. I think it is tactics, right? It made me think of a book. I don't know if you know who Greg Kokel is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He wrote a book called Tactics.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
You know,
I think I have it and never read it.
You should read it. I've read it. It's good. I'm all about apologetics.
Yeah, I love apologetics. Right?
And so, you know, his thing is all about tactics. And it's just like Billboard, the three questions. That's just a tactic.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
But it's a great
tactic. Great tactic.
Yeah, it's a great tactic.
Right. I like to ask people, maybe we should do that on a different podcast, but I like to ask people, like, are you a tolerant person?
Hmm.
Do you believe you're a tolerant person? And usually the people that are, you know, on the left or liberal or atheist or, I'm absolutely tolerant. I believe in LGBT and I believe in, I tolerate everything.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about God. Well, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
So
where's your tolerance?
So you'll tolerate everything but my opinion to have my own rights, to believe what I want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you want to believe is wrong. So you're not a tolerant person.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to backtrack, right?
Right. They got a crawfish.
Because they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I did say I was tolerant.
Yeah. I'm in a corner now.
Yeah, he trapped me.
Yeah. You nasty guy.
Yeah. Stupid Christian.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, but
I have too. It's a shame. I know. It really is. But do you remember when we were kids and things were closed on Sunday? And even the people that didn't believe in God or that lived a different way,
yeah,
were respectful for what you believed in.
Yeah, this is definitely another podcast.
Most definitely.
Because you're right. Like, I haven't had the fight. I grew up in Utah, and, you know, one of the, the Mormons there believe in the Word of Wisdom.
Right.
Right. And one of the other things that they believe is that you shouldn't do anything on Sunday but go to church.
Right.
You shouldn't go grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't do anything. Shouldn't spend money. You shouldn't work. You shouldn't do anything except for go to church.
Right.
Be with your family. And so, yeah, it was absolutely like that. And it was it was tolerated, right?
Right.
Like, you knew if you
weren't, expected
if you weren't Christian or Mormon, I'm not going to call Mormons Christians.
Well, no.
But if you weren't Mormon or if you weren't Christian, you know, there was a lot of Catholics too.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get to do anything on Sunday.
Yeah. You're just out of luck.
You just accepted. That's how we do it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I grew up in a small town in Southeast Missouri.
Yeah.
You know? And that's definitely another podcast.
It is. Absolutely. Maybe the next one.
Yeah. That'll work. That'll work.
So, how do you want to close this?
Man, all these strategy questions you're asking me. To close it, I would like to put out again the quest for topics.
Yeah.
You know?
So, hello@nomadpastor.org.
Yeah.
Send us some topics. Let's
send us
what do we want to talk about? I think it'd be good. We'll think up some too.
Yeah, we'll come up with some, but also I would like to hear, you know, kind of what some of the audience would like to talk about.
Yeah. Cause I think it's different than what I've done. I've always said, hey, if you got questions or something, send me an email, but what do you want to know?
Yeah.
Like that.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
In both of us have always been open to learning. And if we get a topic that, you know, we know a little bit about, you know, we'll research it.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
And maybe even on the podcast some, too.
Yeah. Like, I think it will absolutely, I think, happen on the podcast as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, just get the Bible out and let's just
talk about it.
Right? So. Because I think that's what God wants us to do, right?
Yeah.
He wants us to understand what people need.
Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did. He met the needs.
Yeah. And the needs of, like, just right now. What is my need right now?
Mm-hmm.
Not in 5 years.
Right.
I think we don't do that very good.
I don't.
You know?
I don't.
I know that people are like, oh, I need this. And Linda and I have talked about that. Well, what can we do about all these other things? Well, they just need this, right? You and I talked about the girl who was just asking for a tent.
Yeah.
And all these people were giving her all these other things.
Right. Yeah.
Just give her
a tent, you know, go to Walmart and spend $80-100.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap it up for today, I guess.
Right? Okay.
We've been going for a little bit.
Yeah. How long have we been going?
45 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
We just sat and talked.
Perfect.
Hopefully people enjoy it. Hopefully if you're listening, you enjoy that we just sat and talked for 45 minutes because that's what we're going
to
do.
Right. That's what our goal is to have this have conversations.
And real conversation, not scripted. We haven't, like, you can look at the cameras, right? You can look at the video.
See how ugly we are.
We have nothing in front of us, right? I got nothing in here. I do got a laptop right here, but you can't see it. But all it's running is the video switcher software.
Video switcher software. And the only thing I have is this cup of water.
Yeah. See? Perfect. So. We'll even zoom in while he drinks.
I'm trying to keep it out of the shot.
I know you are. It's okay. It's all right. It all works out pretty good. All right. So we'll wrap it for today. Yeah. You know, I think I want to pray for Little Wolf and the journey they're still continuing on. I got a couple weeks to go, and then we'll go from there. So let me do that real quick.
Okay, cool.
Father God, thanks for today. Thanks for just allowing us to just fellowship together. That's what this is about. Just, you know, hopefully by listening to these conversations, somebody's going to have questions and we're going to be able to answer them. Lord, I just ask that you continue to provide a blessing of protection on Little Wolf and Airbender and Billboard and Little Dragon and Mater and everybody that's Bones and everybody that's going to be in their path, right? That you protect them as they go. You get them safe and sound to the West Coast, and then you get them all home safe as well. That you provide whatever they need as they go on this journey. I ask you to protect Rob and I as we continue this. That you just put on our hearts what we have to say and talk about, and that we can be a blessing to anybody listening. And I just ask that you protect all of the members of BFC and all the members of Forge Brotherhood, that as we continue down these paths, that maybe we'll open some doors for them as well. Mm. It's in the name of your precious Son that we pray. Amen.
Amen.